Time to get settled in for some conversation on this Friday as we send you off to the weekend. I'm Rhonda McBride. Coming up on Juno Afternoon, lust, greed, mystery, and shocking revelations. Theater in the Rough's new play, An Inspector Calls, has it all. Also, a Danish thriller and an explorer's life featured in this weekend's Nordic Film Festival. And Gems of the Sea, the theme of Nell McConaughey's Fused Glass exhibit at the Juno Artists Gallery. Lots to look forward to coming up on Juno Afternoon. In our forecast, mostly cloudy for tonight, isolated snow showers, lows in the mid-20s, east winds around 10 miles per hour. Now for tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered snow showers continuing through the evening, highs in the mid-20s, light winds becoming easterly about 10 miles per hour in the afternoon. Lows will remain steady tomorrow night in the mid-20s with southeast winds around 10 miles per hour. On Sunday, cloudy with a chance of snow showers, highs in the upper 20s, lows down to the lower 20s, northwest winds around 10 miles per hour. Then on Monday, temperatures may start to inch up, highs expected in the lower 30s. And on Monday night, snow in the forecast through Tuesday, lows in the mid-20s, highs on Tuesday in the mid-30s, snow showers likely on Wednesday. For Saturday, the sun rises at 8:25, sets at 3:10, 6 hours, 44 minutes of daylight. The solstice countdown is on. We are 11 days away from solstice on December 21st.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akwan. The Tlinedi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on what were once tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from their homes from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and the future.
Hansen Gress, Ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta kanakaya ha ani kak gunish cheese.
And gunish cheese for being here with us today on this snowy Friday. You are listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. Well, you have another week to see J.B. Priestley's period drama, An Inspector Calls. It is a play that takes place in a wealthy family's parlor in the course of an evening, a night of shocking revelations that occur after a mysterious inspector shows up to ask about a woman who has just taken her life. There is a content warning for the play that there may be depictions of suicide and sexual assault, which could trigger some past feelings in the audience. So just that warning there. But Katie, I want to start with you. She is the director of the play, and we're also joined with Dakota Morgan, who is an actor, and Aaron Elmore, who plays the inspector. So, Katie, as the director, it's your job to bring this very sensitive content to the stage. And people are probably wondering, why such a dark play in the dark days of winter, especially as we approach the holidays?
Well, it's actually, it's a dark play, but it has hope in it. And it has, it is a modern version, really, of A Christmas Carol. And Priestley was a great fan and wrote a book, actually, about Charles Dickens. And they shared how they saw people, whether they appear as monsters or are enchanting trolls or children as children see them. And so the characters like Scrooge or Pickwick are not caricatures, but they have a fairy tale power. So it is like in A Christmas Carol, there is this figure of the inspector who is the ghost, can be seen as the ghost of past, present, and future all in one. So there's that. Like there's hope for Scrooge, there's hope also for society. And Priestley really felt that. And right now, we really feel that same thing is happening. So out of the darkness, there can be a bright light.
I am also reminded of another Christmas play, you know, which also had a suicide in it, sadly. The Jimmy Stewart movie, which everybody loved, and of course he plays this man who is, you know, on the brink of financial ruin, and he's about to kill himself, and an angel steps in and tells him about all the wonderful things that he would go on to do, and then all the terrible things that would happen if he didn't live. So it's kind of more taking that into a positive way. In this play, it sounds like the inspector brings to light all the bad things that people did. So maybe at this point you could, and we also have Aaron Elmore with us and Dakota Morgan. Either of you want to chime in about your characters and basically what the plot is in this play?
I'm always happy to say that this character is a wonderful mystery, and I'm always happy to acknowledge that I still haven't decided exactly who he is or exactly where he comes from. But that, I think, is the great fun of the whole piece in a lot of ways. You get a chance to come and see it for yourself and decide how he fits into this world. And it really is... although he's a title character, I'll say again, the great fun of this, the way Katie has built this play and the way we've approached it, is that it's really not a story about the inspector at all. It is a story about this family, but it's also a story about this young woman who has touched their lives and who's affected her life. And that's one of the great things about it. You're not really sure where you're going when you start with this. But where it ends up, as Katie says, it's a place of hope, and everybody gets a chance to see the effect they've had.
So tell us, Dakota, about the character that you play.
Yes. So it's a very challenging part. So it's very rewarding to come on night after night and run through the show and everything. Without giving too much away, I'd say he's troubled. He's fairly young. He's trying to get, his feet under him in some way. From the start of the show, we see that he is he has a problem with drinking. He's a little on the ruder side. He feels a little, probably not so comfortable around his family and everything. And yeah, there's obviously something that's bothering him that, as the play goes on, just eats at him more and more.
But he's kind of troubled in the way that he's the son of a rich guy, right? And is he trying to decide if he's going to follow in his father's footsteps of kind of being the uber capitalist, greedy?
Sure. Yeah. No. I don't think he. It's a very conflicting relationship that he has with his parents, like most families are. They're a little on the messy side, more in the not everything's black and white. I don't think he always agrees with everything that his parents say and do. But he's a part of that family. So on some sides, he only wants to really do right by everybody. But doesn't.
Well, I think a lot of us can relate to that, kind of not knowing what fork in the road we're going to take. And he's taken some forks in the road that were not too good, apparently. And there's a reckoning in this conversation. But before we hear from the play, because you've prepared two scenes for us to hear from, tell me a little bit about the woman who has died, the reason the inspector has come to the family home to inquire about this woman. What is her story?
Her story is she is one of the, her story is that she worked for the Burlings and worked for the Burling factory, which is a large manufacturing company, led a strike, which failed, and he fired her. She went on and she gets other jobs, another job, which another member of the family has something to do with her being fired and losing that employment. And then she has to go to a different kind of employment. I have to be really careful because I don't want to give the whole plot away because it is a bit of a mystery show.
But she falls on hard times, bottom line.
And she becomes one of the forgotten ones. Just as you would see happening in a Dickens novel. It happens over and over again and happens over and again, over again in Priestley's novels and plays. So she's left in a desperate situation and no one will help her. And then she makes the only choice that she feels like she has to make. And still not going to give that away either because you need to come see the play.
But I guess not to give away too much of the story, but she's got a connection with every person in that parlor that the inspector comes to see. There's something that they have done to her or something they could have done for her. They intersected. So let's hear a scene from this play. It's the opening scene. You want to set it up for us, Katie?
This is the engagement party between Burling's daughter, Sheila, and Gerald, who is Gerald Croft, who is a competing industrialist, son of a competing industrialist. So it's kind of a political alliance, even though they say it's not. And it's supposed to be a very, very happy, happy party. And then it goes sideways, like so many Thanksgiving dinners do.
You know, I've heard stories of Thanksgiving brawls and food being thrown in the air. Those things do happen. But anyway, are we ready to hear that opening scene?
Should probably give a caveat before we get into this, of course, since it's wonderful to have Dakota here and but there's more people in this than we have actors to do it. So some of us are going to be doing different voices.
Well, that gives you more incentive to go see it, right? To really get the feel for this. So, all righty, we're ready.
You have to see the actual performers in doing this part. I will be playing parts played by two marvelous actors, Dan Wayne and Jack Scholes. And they're playing the roles of Arthur Burling and Gerald Croft. So I'll be doing both those voices. Dakota will be playing Eric Burling himself. And Katie, you're playing?
All the girls.
All the girls. Katie's playing Sheila and Sybil Burling. So it's very different creatures all around. But anyway, so we'll be doing all the voices.
All right. We're ready.
You ought to like this port, Gerald. Thank you, Edgar, sir.
Sir.
And my father prides himself on being a good judge of port. I don't pretend to know much about it.
I should think so, Gerald. I'd hate you to know all about port. It's like one of those purple-faced old men.
Yeah, I'm not a purple-faced old man.
Not yet.
But I could tell you one or two stories.
Arthur, I don't think that's really appropriate. Not with Sheila here. Nonsense, Mummy.
Oh, she's heard a lot worse.
Have you?
You know I have.
Altogether excellent dinner. You must tell cook for me, Sybil.
And you're not supposed to say such things in front of guests.
In trouble again. Well, it really was first class, Mrs. Burling.
Thank you.
I don't think Gerald is a guest, you know, not anymore.
I don't see how he can be after tonight. Oh, to take some, Mummy. It's a special occasion.
Adam?
Very well, just a little. All right, Edgar, I'll ring from the drawing room when we want coffee.
Yes, ma'am. What's the matter with you?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sorry, I just...
he's had a drop too much.
So at this point, just sometime thereafter, the inspector shows up asking, and I guess, as you said, the party goes sideways after this. How has the reaction been from the audiences so far? Because you've been doing a lot of performances, although there are still a few more left to catch. How has that been?
It's really hard to express. I have to say again how hard it is to even talk about this play because there's so many wonderful mysteries that it's hard of it. I think all three of us have approached this radio interview terrified we're going to tip some wonderful thing for people to discover. But that said, people have received this very warmly at Juno's, stuffed with wonderful audience folks, and as a group they've stood up for us, and it's been fantastic. Very, very warm. It's not, as you mentioned, sorry, there, I suppose there's a sort of darkness at the end. I think as you go through any sort of darkness, just like we're all going through wintertime, there's the benefit you accrue to the end of that is to come out the other side, have experienced something, and you've also learned or it's hopefully the piece has changed you, I suppose, is what we reach for. It's very hard as artists to try to set ourselves a bar and say, this is the effect we're wanting to have on an audience. That's I think, probably the wrong way around. I think Katie's direction's been enormously generous and warm and incredibly insightful and incredibly understanding. And when you've got that combination along with some performers who are willing to take risks and willing to be vulnerable, not only with each other, but in front of an audience, you get one of those moments of theater magic that people who are fed by live theater, who have come to it and found something and come back to it, that these are the kinds of plays you'll remember for years and years to come. In fact, people say this is their favorite thing we've ever done. And that's very subjective, obviously. And favorites, recent favorites, are almost always easier to remember than older favorites. But it's incredibly powerful and incredibly beautiful.
So this is in a church, a very intimate kind of warm church with good acoustics and things like that. How is this play? Are people able to sit fairly close? I know you have COVID restrictions. People have to present proof of vaccination. There's distancing, masks. But do you get a sense that you're there in this living room by the way that the sets are struck?
Well, there's actually quite a bit of space. And we're not actually, we're in McPheeters Hall, which is not the inside the church sanctuary. If you've not been there before, McPheeters Hall is quite big, and so it has a theater. It's got a proscenium. It's got a seating platform. So we are at quite a distance from the audience. We And we've definitely made space for that. But there's still that experience of being in this. There's nothing like live theater, being in the same room, because the audience is always the fourth character. And without them, the theater experience is not complete. Because whether they are aware of it or not, we are aware of them and they are aware of us. We are aware of them as much as they, more than they think they might be. And they, their presence and how they take it affects everything. And our whole, why we do what we do is to give something rather than take something as a theater and as performers.
So Dakota, tell us a little bit about this play as far as how it's affected you personally. Do you think you've done some growing just trying to be this young man that is trying to find his way in the world?
I sure hope so. That's all we can really ask for. I'm very grateful for the opportunity that both Katie and Aaron and everybody at Theater in the Rough, that they've given me this opportunity to come and work. And the show is very important. Right now, more than anything, we're still dealing with the same issues that this play talks about and discusses and shows the connections that all of us have, whether we know it or not. We all affect each other's lives in different ways. And just to be aware of that in order to be our better selves. I will quote the inspector that we're not alone on this earth, and all of our actions, all of our decisions have impacts on other people, whether we intend to or not.
And these characters didn't necessarily know some of their impacts on some of these characters. So Aaron, set us up for the next scene. We've got about five minutes left.
Just wanted to confirm, Katie, we're on, this is the one that starts with Eric's, you know, don't you?
Yep.
Yeah. So we have just learned about Eric Burling's involvement with Ava Smith, which has proved to be an enormously complicated relationship. And very impactful to him and to her. And so we're just, it's probably worth mentioning the inspector, as part of his investigation, has discovered Ava Smith's diary. So he knows some of the things that happened, but he doesn't know everything. So, it's been a great challenge for me and a wonderful fun to try to find those things that he does know and then find things that he's trying to lead people to realizations on their own. So that's part of what's going on here. And I'll just keep reading until, Katie, until you say to stop.
Why don't we get into it?
Okay, great. And Dakota, whenever you're ready.
You know, don't you?
Yes. When did you first meet the girl?
Sarah. Her name was Sarah. A few months ago, November.
Sybil, I think you should leave. You too, Sheila. I'm staying.
Where did you meet her?
You went to the palace bar, didn't you?
And why shouldn't I have been there? You know, I'm old enough to be married, for God's sake.
You should have kept your... You should have shown some self-control.
Oh, what? Like Gerald, you mean? Like all the other men in this town?
Alderman Megarty.
Like you, for all I know.
Shut your mouth.
So what, you were feeling restless, frustrated, lonely?
Yes.
You picked her up and you went back to her place?
Yes. Only that at that moment, she seemed to change her mind.
Go on.
But I was drunk, and I had to see it through.
You were rough with her.
Yes, a little that first time.
How many times were there?
Did you think about her while you were forcing her?
I didn't mean to, not really.
while you were using her as if she were an animal thing, did you think about the implications for her life?
No.
Oh, you can put that down. That's done enough damage already.
Let him have a drink. On this occasion, let him have a drink.
How often did you see her?
As often as she let me.
Paying every time, I presume?
It wasn't like that. She listened to me. She helped me.
I'm sure she did.
I needed her. I needed her much more than she needed me.
That's the end of our excerpt.
Wow. I got hair standing up on my neck. This has got to be a powder keg play to watch. Well, before we run out of time, you got to let people know the particulars, how they can get tickets and what the times are.
You can get tickets through the Jack or through our website at theaterintheruff.org. Tickets have to be purchased in advance, so make sure that you do that. And we require proof of vaccination and wearing masks. And we play tonight through Sunday and then next weekend. And the show times are available on our website. Evenings are at 7:30 p.m. and matinees are at 2 p.m. And this is our last two weekends. So please don't miss this. This is a once-in-a-lifetime experience with this amazing cast.
And it sounds like you have put so much work into it and the actors. And just from this little taste of the play that we've had, so quite an accomplishment to do a work like this. And just any final words for the audience in preparing themselves to see this play? You know, can you bring teenagers to it?
This play does deal with some adult themes, so it's not really a kids one you would want to bring young children to. It's for mature audiences, just because of some of the subject matter that we touch. Just prepare to discover the mysteries along with us as we worked with it. And it's also the second play of our 30th anniversary season. 30 years.
And a challenging play like this is a good way to cap off such a big anniversary year. And I want to thank Aaron Elmore and Dakota Morgan for joining us. They are two actors in An Inspector Calls, and Katie Jensen, who is the director. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.